Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail. We're going to be talking about its content and its meaning, not only then, but for today. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber as we talk about Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from the Birmingham jail. We just came through the annual celebration honoring the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. And he wrote this amazing letter in April of 1963. And we refer to it as the letter from the Birmingham jail. Matt, he wrote it to seven pastors and one rabbi who had issued a statement published in the local newspaper calling for delay, calling for tolerance, calling for cooperation, and certainly not advocating his marches. However, some of the people that actually were part of that were actually in favor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s message. So at any rate, he issued this letter in response to that full page or that newspaper ad, and we refer to it now as the letter from the Birmingham jail. It's a powerful piece. He wrote it on napkins. He wrote it on pieces of paper, and then he was able to finally get some paper, and he put it all together, and he wrote it out. Very powerful piece. And in this letter, one of the things that I want to talk about is he was addressing a question that was posed, Dr. King, why do you obey some laws and other laws you do not obey? Why do you obey, for example, Brown versus Board of Education, the desegregation decision, but you are now in jail? Why? Because you did not want to obey the parade permit law. And he said, that's easy. There are some laws that are just and some laws that are unjust. And that's where we want to begin this discussion of Martin Luther King Jr.
Right, and he drew a line of demarcation between the just laws and the unjust laws. Unjust laws being man-made laws that are in conflict with higher law, with God's law. And he pretty clearly said when man-made laws conflict with or run afoul of God's laws, then that is when civil disobedience is appropriate, peaceful civil disobedience. And that's what we're talking about here, is peaceful civil disobedience. He said, quote, I would be the first to advocate, in his letter he said, I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with St. Augustine that, quote, an unjust law is no law at all. And couldn't have been more beautifully and appropriately stated.
You know, in this letter, he harkens back to millennia of Judeo-Christian history and to the great Christian thinkers, St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Sir William Blackstone. Sir William Blackstone wrote the four-volume Commentaries on the Laws of England. He was a law professor. He was a jurist. He was a member of Parliament. Everyone, both in Great Britain and the United States, when they wanted to become a lawyer, they studied Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England. And Blackstone spoke very specifically about the fact that there is a higher law. He says that there is revealed law and there is the laws of nature, or there is the other law that is naturally part of our existence. It is binding, he says, over all the globe and at all times, and no human law can be contrary to that law. And that if there is any human law that is contrary to this higher law, it is no law at all, hearkening back to people who were long before him, long-standing Judeo-Christian tradition. And that's what Martin Luther King Jr. was saying. Why do you obey a Brown versus Board of Education, but you're now in jail because of this parade permit law? He said, because there are just laws, you have to obey those. And they're unjust laws, and they are out of harmony. They are contrary to God's law, to the higher law, and you have a duty to disobey those because they are no law at all. In fact, he says, the highest respect that you can give to law is to not acknowledge a law, not give it credence to a man-made law that is in conflict with God's law. That is your highest possible respect for law itself. And that's what he was doing, and he was willing to spend time in jail for violating a law that he felt was unjust.
Okay, Matt, this was, you know, during the civil rights struggles, the legitimate, noble civil rights struggles of the 60s and preceding that as well, up to the 60s and even beyond, pertaining to racial discrimination that African Americans and other racial minorities faced, particularly the African American community here. How does this ageless, timeless concept of obeying just laws and disobeying unjust laws that conflict with God's law, how put that in the context of today? What does it pertain to most obviously at the forefront of our modern discourse and political wranglings and debates?
Well, let's look at a couple of examples. There may be laws like taxation laws or regulation laws that you don't like, but the question is, do they really conflict with a higher law? Probably not in most cases, depends upon the particular situation. But then there's the law that says you can take the life of an unborn child, that they're not a human being, and as a result, many children are slaughtered. Or there's a law that says that the definition of marriage is going to be redefined. It's no longer part of the natural created order. And if you don't agree with it and promote it, you're going to lose your license, you're going to be fined, you're going to put in jail. Those are unjust laws. Those are laws that transcend life and marriage and religious freedom. They transcend geography, time, and cultures. They predate governments. The Declaration of Independence speaks of the laws of nature and of nature's God, natural law, in other words, and revealed law, and that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government's duty is to protect those rights, and whenever government does not, evinces a pattern of violating those rights, it's our duty to change it. It's our duty in the case of the Revolution. The Revolution was a demonstration of civil disobedience. The Revolution was, on a large scale, what Martin Luther King Jr. was doing on a smaller scale, if you will. It was the creation of a new country because of the King of Great Britain. Martin Luther King Jr. was following that same tradition, moving against the tyrannical government because of what it was doing to people because of the color of their skin. In fact, one of the original mottos and seals of the United States was obedience to God is resistance to tyrants. That is historic Judeo-Christian teachings and doctrine. You can go all the way back to the three Hebrews. They had a law that says you need to bow down to the king. They said, we're not going to do it. They ended up in the fiery furnace. God intervened. The same thing with Daniel. There was a law, you can only pray to the king, only pray to this idol. Daniel says, I'm not going to do it. He was thrown into the lion's den and ultimately came out. There's the law that ultimately impacted Esther. Kill all the Jews. And there was another law, you can't approach the king unless you're summoned. She urged her people to pray, and then she went in and put her life on the line.
Yeah, Matt. Well, you know, Martin Luther King addressed the issue of homosexuality. The left has tried to co-opt the civil rights mantra and apply it to these disordered behaviors. Martin Luther King was clear in a letter he wrote in responding to a letter in Ebony Magazine. He called homosexuality a, quote, culturally acquired problem, in, quote, need of a solution, a, quote, habit stemming from a series of negative experiences and circumstances. There's little doubt he was a Bible-believing Christian. He cited Sir William Blackstone. We know where he would have stood on homosexual marriage. He would have opposed it.
No question about that. So I encourage you to read the letter from the Birmingham jail. You can order it or ask for it from Liberty Counsel. Go to lc.org or call us today toll-free. This letter from the Birmingham jail is timeless, because Martin Luther King Jr. didn't invent the concept there. He was drawing upon millennia of human history, Judeo-Christian history, and even the American Revolution that was founded upon those Christian values. He says that you need to, number one, gather facts. Number two, you need to ultimately negotiate, try to do everything possible to resolve the situation. Number three, self-purification. you need to pray. Make sure that you're right with God, that you're doing this for the right reason. And he advocated nonviolent resistance. And then number four, engage in direct action. Those were the 4 points. It's all lined out in the letter from the Birmingham jail. Call today, 800-671-1776. Or go to lc.org and ask for this letter from the Birmingham jail. We encourage you to read it. It is powerful. It speaks to us in our situation today.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.